You may be seated. The celebration of Jesus' birthday is so different today than what it was when he was born. So much has been added. Trees, lights, ornaments, tinsel. And it really seems like the focus of Christmas today is on the giving and receiving of gifts. But that's not the way it was when Jesus was born. You see, when he was born that night, the focus was all on him. And when he was born, all heaven rejoiced. You may wonder how I know all this. Let me introduce myself. My name is Joseph. Joseph of Nazareth. I was blessed to be married to Mary. And I was the earthly father of Jesus. And I'm here today that I might share with you a perspective from my life on the birth of Jesus. You see, Mary and I grew up in the town of Nazareth there in Galilee. And not long after we were born, our parents arranged for us to be married. You may think that's strange, but that was a common practice in our day. But it didn't matter because as we grew up, as I got to know Mary, I'll be honest with you, I started growing fond of her. She was without a doubt the prettiest girl in the village. And she was smart. And she was witty. And she was fun to be with. But most of all, she had a godlike presence that really captured my heart. And I know every time I would see her, my heart would just begin to beat and beat and beat until I thought it was going to literally jump out of my body. And I knew then that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with Mary. Well, about a year before we were to officially be married, we entered into what is called the betrothal period. It is during that year that we are considered married, even though we didn't live together. And our time was kept at a minimum. But that was all right. Because the only way that period could be broken was by a writ of divorce. And Mary and I were so in love, we just knew that divorce would never, never enter the picture. We could hardly wait for the year to pass and us officially have our wedding day. But one day, as I was working in my father's shop, Mary stopped by and she said, "Joseph, I need to talk to you. There's something really important I need to tell you." She said, "Can you come by my house after dinner?" I said, "Yes, Mary, I'll come by." And with that, she left. And I knew the way she was acting, that something was really bothering her. And because of that, I thought my day would never end. You see, my mind was more on what was bothering her than on the projects my dad and I were working on. But the day did end. And when supper was over, I went over to Mary's house. We walked out back and sat on some rocks at the base of the hill, and we talked for a few minutes, and then Mary looked at me and she said, "Joseph, there's something I really need to tell you, but I'm not sure if I know how to tell you. And then I'm not sure how you're going to respond to what I tell you." "Mary," I said, "we've known each other almost all our lives. During that time, we've got to be the best of friends. We've been able to talk to each other about anything and everything. And today's no different. Our love is so strong, I'm sure it'll weather anything you've got to say. So please tell me, what's troubling you?" Trembling, she looked me straight in the eyes. She said, "Joseph, I'm going to have a baby. What I said as I jumped up from where I was sitting beside her, what do you mean you're going to have a baby? I can't believe I'm hearing this. Mary, I couldn't believe you would do this to you and to me. Mary, I can't believe after telling me you love me and you love me, you've now been with another man. And I want you to know, folks, I was angry. You see, the hurt I felt when she first said it quickly turned to anger, and I was stammering around. And Mary kept saying, but Joseph, but I wouldn't let her speak. I was just too upset. Finally, I looked at Mary and I said, Mary, I can't handle this tonight. I'll deal with you tomorrow. And with that, I stormed off into the night and up on the hill. You see, I couldn't go home. I couldn't let my parents see me like I was. And when I got to the top of the hill, I was so exhausted physically and emotionally, I just fell to the ground. And then I began to cry. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried till I could cry no more. Exhausted, I laid there. And finally, when I began to regain my composure, I thought, I've got to decide what I'm going to do with Mary. And there are only two choices that I faced. The first choice was that of the law of Moses. I would take her tomorrow before the elders at the city gate, and I would tell them what she had done. But the minute I did that, they would demand that she be taken outside the city and stoned to death. And the more I thought about it, I knew I couldn't do that. You see, Mary hurt me terribly, but I loved her with a love I can't put into words. And that love said to me, no matter how painful you are, no matter how much hurt you've experienced, you love her too much to see her exposed publicly or to be killed. So then I thought of the second option, the bill of divorcement. I could simply go to her house and give her that bill of divorcement and tell her, we're done. You go and take care of your situation. You live out the rest of your life. I'm going to go my way. And when I had settled on the second option, I got up and went home. When I got home, I went straight to bed. I didn't want to talk to anybody else. But during the night, something strange happened. I had a dream. An angel came to me, and that angel said to me, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. For you see, she's not expecting the child of a man. She's expecting the child of the Holy Ghost. She's expecting God's Son. And when he is born, you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Well, when I awoke the next morning, I kind of banged my head some thinking about that dream, and I thought it was strange, and I wasn't real certain about everything that he had said, but it had perked my curiosity, and so I hurriedly got dressed and I went over to Mary's house and I said, Mary, can you talk? I've got to talk to you. It's important. So once again, we walked out back, and as we was walking out back, I explained to Mary my dream and what the angel said. And when I told her what he said, I said, now, Mary, I didn't let you say anything last night, but would you please tell me what happened to you? It was then that Mary got the opportunity to tell me that an angel had also appeared to her. And the angel, when he appeared, called her blessed and told her she was highly favored among all women. And then he said, God has chosen you, and you're going to be the woman that bears God's son. Joseph, this is God's child. And with that, I grabbed her and I hugged her. Oh, I hugged her. And I said, thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mary. This explains it all. And then I let her go and stepped back and said, Mary, I need to ask you to forgive me. Last night when you told me you were expecting a child, I jumped to conclusions. And I just lost my cool and I got mad. And I screamed and hollered and said a lot of things and I wouldn't even let you respond. And then I stormed off into the night. And Mary, I was so wrong. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? Now listen to me. It's easy for any of us to jump to conclusions and to fly off the handle. But oh, the hardest thing is when you realize you were wrong, going to the person you wronged and apologizing and asking them to forgive you. But forgive me, she did. And we were married. It was just a short time after we married that Caesar Augustus, the governor, issued a decree that all the world should be taxed. And for that to occur, we had to go back to our home cities. And for me, it meant leaving Nazareth up in Galilee and going all the way down to Judea to the city of Bethlehem. I wasn't concerned about the trip for me, but I was concerned about Mary because she was at the time that the baby could come. But we had to do it, so we made the trip. Mary handled it well. But when we got to Bethlehem and got to that little village and went in, it was so crowded. I don't ever remember seeing that many people in Bethlehem. But this is where everybody was returning so they could register for the taxation. I headed for the inn and I went in and I said to the innkeeper, sir, I need a room. No room, he said. I said, sir, you don't understand. My wife is expecting a child and I desperately need a room. No room, he said. I said, please, sir, please. You're the only inn in town, please. No room. No room. And with that, I left. And I went out in the street. I began to ask of everybody I saw, do you know where I can find a room? I need a room for my wife. I even knocked on doors. Can you get me a room? My wife needs a room. And everywhere I went and everybody I talked to, no room, no room. So I went back to the inn. And I said to the innkeeper, sir, I've been all over this village, this town. I can't find a room. Please, sir, please give me a room. Give me a room. Frustrated with my persistence, he looked at me and said, no room. But if you want, you can go out and stay in my stable. With nowhere else to go, I took Mary and together we made our way out to the stable. And it was there in the stable that I finally got Mary settled in for the night. And as I was tending to our donkey and feeding it so then that I could go to bed, I heard Mary cry out and I knew the time had arrived. I can't begin to tell you how I felt the first time I held baby Jesus in my hand. I looked on his face and I knew that he was someone special. So special that only time and eternity would reveal it. I then got Mary settled back into bed, and I came and placed baby Jesus in the manger. And as I was putting him down, I heard a commotion outside, and I hurried out to see what it was. And when I got out there, it was shepherds. And I said, "What are you guys doing here?" And they began to explain to me what happened to them while they were out in the fields, how the angel had appeared to them and told them that in Bethlehem the Savior had been born. And they said, "You would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And we've come to see for ourselves. We want to see the Messiah." And with that, I allowed them to come in. And when they saw Jesus, they fell down and they began to worship him. And then when they were done worshiping, they got up to leave. Oh, but when they left, they didn't go quietly. They were so excited by what they saw and what they heard that they left shouting and praising and glorifying God. And I guess everybody in Bethlehem knew then that a baby had been born. And according to these guys, it was the Savior. I mean, they left excited. About a year later, we heard a knock on the door to our house. I went and opened the door, and standing in front of me were three distinguished looking men. I asked them if I could help them, and they said, "Yes, we've come looking for the King." And I said, I don't understand. What are you talking about?" Then they explained to me how they had come from the East. They were students of the stars, and the star appeared out of nowhere, and it captivated their attention, and they remembered the prophecies and what was written of old, and so they decided that they would come and follow that star to wherever it led because it was the promise of a king. And with that, I knew I had to let them in to see Jesus. So they came into the house, and again, like the shepherds, when they saw Jesus, they fell down and they began to worship him. And when they had finished worshiping him, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, gold was a gift you'd give to a king. Frankincense was the gift you'd give to a priest. But myrrh was the oil you would use to anoint a dead person. But this was oil that represented the death of a Savior. And when they had finished worshiping and offering their gifts, they too left and went back home. Now, I never lived long enough to see Jesus grow up. But I did live long enough to know that he truly was the Son of God. And I lived long enough to know that he had an influence on people unlike anybody I'd ever seen. You see, I lived long enough that he was God's special gift to the world. And that when people came to him, and not everybody that saw him turned to him, not everybody that met him accepted him, but to those that did, he gave life, peace, joy, and love. This morning, I want you to understand this same Jesus that Joseph was the earthly father of, still offers life, peace, joy, love, hope. He is the greatest gift. He is God's gift to you and to me. But he's only a gift if you and I are willing to open our hearts and receive him. And this morning, as we approach the day we celebrate His birth, I can't help believe there's somebody in this place that needs Jesus in their heart and life. Nothing would cause the heavens to burst out in joy than to see a sinner come home, a lost person come home. And I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity, like the shepherds had, and like the wise men had, to meet Jesus and then respond to Him. And so we're going to stand together, and we're going to sing a hymn. And as we do, I'll be here at the front. If you need to make a decision for Christ, I invite you to come. I'll be here to rejoice with you. Stand with me. We're going to sing together. What child is this? I'll tell you what child it is. It is the child, the Son of God, who pleads with you, trust me, give me your life, and find life in me. Until He comes, the invitation to receive Him is always there. If you're here today, you didn't feel led to come down the aisle, but you'd like to talk to me, I'm going to be right here after the service. You come. I'll stay all day long if need to help you discover what God's saying to you. But don't leave here until you and God have settled the issues He's laid on your heart. For you need to understand, the God who gave us the gift of His Son is an awesome God who loved you enough that He would sacrifice His Son for you. I have one prayer, and that is this, that all of us will trust Him and live for Him. Well, before we go, thank you for being here today, and let me just say, this has been a power-packed day. I learned something about this sanctuary. You go out those double doors there, you can't hear anything. I kept trying to hear the kids. I kept trying to hear Gracie and Ava, and I couldn't hear them, you know. And I did get to hear Grace and Ava earlier, and that was great. Thank you, girls. I appreciate that so much. And thank you to our children and to Dee and our workers for a tremendous presentation here today, and for all who have participated. And I want to invite you back tonight, because the day is not over. It's going to even get better as the choir presents the cantata tonight. Susan and I got in yesterday and had an opportunity to go to the Greenbrier and to listen to the cantata there with the Greenbrier singers. I'm looking forward to hear our own people, because I'm discovering every Sunday I get here that there is more talent in this church than I realize. We got all kinds of good singers and talented people in other areas. So you'll want to come back tonight. Now let me just remind you of this. We're going to take down the barriers. It's going to be full seating if people show up. Therefore, we have required that you wear masks. All right? And so just let you know ahead of time. If you get here without one, there will be masks here that you can pick up. But do come. Support our choir. But more than that, come and be reminded of why we celebrate Christmas. It's all about our Savior. Anybody have a word before we go? Well, let me close this in a word of prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, we love you. But our love for you is only made possible because you first loved us. And out of that love, you gave your Son for us. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the children of God, your children. Father, I just pray that if there's someone here that the Spirit is speaking to, they'll not leave here till you and they settle their matter. And I pray, Father, that as we go, you'll bless us all. And may we go forth to honor you with our lives. And as we look forward to Saturday when we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, we give because you first gave to us. We give because even the Magi, the wise men, brought gifts to Jesus. So we give and receive gifts. But Father, I pray that the difference in our giving and receiving is that first of all, we have rejoiced in the gift of Jesus. And we give because he gave to us. So bless us as we part. In Jesus' name, amen.